Welcome to the Designated Drinker Show, the podcast that's raising the bar on craft cocktails. I am your host, Louise Sullis, and with me today is a friend who is a blast from the past and a former barkeep. He is Tyler Rothenberg. Welcome back, Tyler.
Hey, Louise. It's been a long time since we've done one of these together, huh?
It has been a minute.
2000.
Has been a minute.
17?
You know, I looked it up. It was episode 20 and it was season one. And let's put this in perspective. We are in season 7.
So OG over here.
OG all the way. So what the hell have you been up to these days? Where are you hanging your hat?
Oh, it feels like I've been hanging my hat wherever they will allow me to. No, I've been with Stoli
Group. It's good to sound now. Some things never change.
It's very true. I'll take what I can get, Luis. Beg or not a change. I've been with Stoli Group now, 15, 16 months, who's counting? And I've had an opportunity. The travel piece is interesting because I've had an opportunity to work with their global brand team. And that sent me, different parts of the world, specifically Mexico and Greece. Those have kind of been the focus areas outside of the U.S. and the U.S., of course, being very important to the business. I've been doing a lot of different things. One of those being focused on our trade efforts and how we better connect with the bartender and build our advocacy program. I'm sure we'll talk about the Elite Masters programming. Really how we do a better job connecting to trade, building the relationship with the bartender, and then supporting all of their efforts and professional development and how they interact with their guests in order to create the best hospitable experience. That was just, and then hanging my hats wherever I can hang them.
Cool. Okay. So in honor of all that, I have some fun facts for you.
Okay.
We've spoken a little bit. I kind of know.
Nervous
so,
now.
Just fun facts. The ridiculously fun facts. I'm not doing a quiz. I'm not throwing you a quiz like I do Gina from time to time. But all right. So we all know we have the five senses, right? Sight, smell, hearing, touch, and taste, right?
Yes.
Well, today I want to give you some fun facts just on taste. You cool with it?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's go. So, fun facts, just taste. First fun fact, because they're really fun. they are, I promise. So taste is sometimes referred to as umami. Have you heard of that, umami?
I have heard of umami.
Okay, for our listeners, umami is Japanese for deliciousness.
Somewhere, but...
Well, we got to have a few more drinks before we get there.
All right, fair.
So umami, it's been described as savory and is characteristic of broth and cooked meat. People taste umami through taste receptors that are typically respond to glutamates, which are found in meat broths and fermented foods. MSG is in a part of that. So there's umami. Here's another fun fact, because that last one was super fun. This one's on taste buds.
Okay.
Did you know, the bumps on your tongue? Bumps on your tongue? They're not your taste buds. I'm not lying. Those are your papillas.
You have umami and papillas.
Papillas, yes. Yeah, see, I haven't had anything to drink because I can still enunciate. give me a minute. But here's the thing is, you can't see your taste buds. So those little bumps, not your taste buds. I always
really?
Said they're your taste buds. Yeah, yeah. See? That fun, right? And I bet by now, Tyler, you're probably asking yourself, just how many taste buds do I have, Louise?
You stole the thought right out of my brain.
I could see it. So the fact is, just like in most cases, everyone is different. And most people have between 2,000 and 10,000 taste buds. And those taste buds only live for about 10 to 14 days. Good news is they grow back. Bad news is, as we age, they don't grow back as fast. Which I think explains why you can eat really hot shit as you get older and why old people just don't eat what's there. Because they can't taste it anymore anyway.
Do you know, and I'm going to put you on the spot, and I don't know the answer to this question, so I'm just going to pose it. Have you heard of a super taster?
Yes, and I'm glad I'm not one.
So does a super taster just have more, do they have more taste buds than a normal person? Is that what makes them a super taster?
You know, that was on my in my research, and I just skimmed past it. So I don't know that I would think that there has to be, but I also know that I know it has to do with their sense of smell as well, just like for everyone. But I'm glad I'm not one, because they say that can be really terrible because you just taste everything to the extreme.
Yeah.
So there's no middle ground.
Like, can you even enjoy food at that point?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a super taster. I can assume not, though. Those are some, although I couldn't answer the last one, those were some tasty nuggets of knowledge, don't you think?
I would think those were tasty nuggets of knowledge.
So all this talk about tasty tidbits about the sense of taste brings me to today's designated drinker. She is Elite Vodka's U.S. brand ambassador, which just goes to prove she knows a thing or two about deliciousness. She's none other than Erin Ray. Welcome to the show, Erin.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be here. I now have just this thirst and this taste for more knowledge about our taste buds. I feel like I need to go out and learn a little more.
I was going to say, talk about tasty treats. Welcome to the show. And I thought maybe that's a bit too much.
I don't know. I'm one for alliteration, so I'm for it.
Well, great. Then you're in the right place. So this format's just a little out of the norm, but it's no big deal. We're going to just go with it. But first and foremost, Erin, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yes, absolutely. My name's Erin Ray. I am based in California. I grew up in Northern California, Sacramento, San Francisco, and a little Santa Cruz in there. Started bartending when I was 21, fell in love with it, and I've kind of made it my mission to continue along in this industry as long as I possibly can. I have been with the Stoli team here for a little longer than Tyler. So it's been at this point in time getting close to about a year and a half. I started in September of 2022. So about a year and a half with the team. And I'm actually the brand ambassador for the Stoli Group as a whole. And I cover 6 brands focusing on the ultra premium and prestige products. So Elite Vodka is one of the 6 fabulous brands that I work on. And it's such a cool vodka. It's such a cool story. We're going to get into it, so I won't get too far into it here. But I am excited to be here and talk with you guys.
So some of our listeners have no idea what a spirit brand ambassador does, or what a global team member of Elite La title you have, Tyler. Tell our listeners what that means. What does that title mean? What does that position mean? What the hell do you do?
It's a great question. I ask myself that every day. No, just kidding. Are we both answering this question?
Yeah. I think in both situations, I think people don't necessarily understand.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So I'll kind of start us off. So I work specifically on the Elite brand and the Elite brand only. We have, I believe, Erin, help me out. I might fail this quiz. I think 8 or 9 total brands in portfolio, including our wines.
11.
11. See, that's why Erin Serta saved me. So 11 brands. I get very tunnel vision with Elite, but that's why I'm here, is to focus on this one brand. So I work on specifically the Elite brand on the global team. It's myself and Hervoy Rain. Hervoy really focuses more on kind of the creative piece, the look, the feel, the communication of the brand. And then I'm focusing in more on, you know, how we take that and bring it to life through the channels. So I work closely with our sales team all throughout the globe, identifying, you know, key markets, key opportunities, key channels, on-premise, off-premise, et cetera, and how we bring Hervoy's work to life in front of the consumer, in front of trade, build the experience of the brand.
And so when you say trade, that's basically working with like business to business. You're working with the bartenders and the food and beverage industry to speak to that consumer. They're kind of your bridge to them.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the way that the spirits business and work is, and it's all over the globe, is different. I'll kind of focus in on the U.S. is, you know, you have your three-tiered system traditionally. And so you, Stoli, as the supplier, sell to the distributor. The distributor then sells to the retailer and sells to the bar. But what's interesting about it is, you know, the end point is the consumer, of course. But I really look through a lens of we have our customer and we have our consumer. Right? So our customer trade is going to be our distribution partners, our retail partners, our on-premise partners, anybody that we more or less are directly selling to. And then the consumer, of course, being the person that buys the product at store or at the bar. And, you know, we are as closely connected to them. You know, we certainly influence decisions, but we aren't the ones selling them anything, right? So we depend upon our trade partners to do the selling for us.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So, Aaron, how does your position at Stoli Group differ?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think what Tyler, one of the things he said is what I always say when someone says, well, yeah, what the hell is a brand ambassador? My job is literally to bring our brands to life. That's first and foremost what it is. And if we had a mission statement, I believe that that is what it would be for brand ambassadors. And that kind of presents itself in many ways. Working with the trade, yes. Working with the end consumer. We can do anything from building advocacy programs to getting, you know, bartenders on board, staff trainings, really taking them through the story of our products, helping them, you know, understand how to utilize it, to doing events and things. I was just doing a quick little recap on all the events, and I think I did like 80 different events last year. Wow. And those can be anything that's small. You know, a pairing dinner, that could be a huge spirits festival or a food festival where you're getting in front of 2,000 people, 10,000 people, or it could be an intimate dinner with the top trade, you know, top bartenders, top distributors, top sales folks in an area. And it's really just about immersing people in the brand. And sometimes you have 10 seconds to do that. And sometimes you have 3 hours to do that. And you really kind of just think of three, you know, work on 360 degree initiatives to really just bring the brand home to folks. We have our great commercial teams at Stoli Group, and they are the ones who are on the ground doing the selling, working with our distributors on all kinds of things behind the scenes that you wouldn't believe if you haven't been in this industry, how much work goes into it. And it's an immense amount of work from all parts. But it really is, I think, that link in between the big ticket ideas of brand building and a brand's ethos and the research into what it takes to get a brand's positioning to the sales. You know, how are they going to go sell it? So we basically, I say we kind of translate, we reframe things, and we find ways to connect with people, whether that's, again, one person or thousands of people.
I will say, being a creative director from advertising, stepping into this role, I mean, when we started the show, getting to a better understanding of the spirit world and how it works from a marketing standpoint, it differs greatly from just about any other product in the world. I know it's highly regulated and those things come into play, but it's so different in the way things are done, the way things are marketed. It took me even a minute to go, okay, wait, you do what?
There are things that surprise me every day. So this is my, you know, fourth spirits company. I've been in spirits on this side of the business for about a decade, and I'm always surprised. You learn something new every day.
That's good.
That's the fun of it. I mean, the business is ever changing. The competitive landscape is unbelievable. So if you're a competitive person, it's a great business to be in because you're constantly trying to figure out how to win. You know, the consumer is always evolving and adapting.
And they're getting so smart now. They have so much information. Totally. And they...
Well, it's because of this little show called The Designated Drinker Show.
Uh-huh. You're making it not more difficult, Louise. Thanks.
You're welcome, Tyler. You're welcome. So, So you, I know you were both prior lives and you were bartenders. What made you take the leap?
Yeah. So, yeah, yes, I'll kick off here. I fell in love with bartending when I was an undergrad, just out of the military.
That's and when I met you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You met me very shortly after that. It's probably about 8 years ago, maybe, Luis, maybe 9. And Luis, for those that don't know, I actually met her because she was a regular at a bar I used to bartend at. So that's how we built this friendship, which is special. But yeah, so I fell in love with bartending in undergrad. And you know, I fell in love with hospitality and the guest experience. But I also became extremely fascinated with cocktails. And then my fascination with cocktails led me to learning more about spirits, right? Like you can't be a painter without knowing the paint, right? Like you just can't do that. So
yeah,
I started diving down that rabbit hole, you know, in really educating myself. And part of my pursuit of education was to learn as much about the business as I possibly could. So that led me to become very curious. You know, I did some work at a distillery, you know, literally filling barrels and putting labels on bottles, but just working hand in hand with the distiller to understand that how that worked. I eventually got into working with a distributor to understand how the sales side of the business worked. And then I got into kind of the education brand ambassador side. And then I went back and got my MBA. And, you know, that kind of led me into getting more on the brand building, brand development side of the business. And this is now where I feel all the different things I've done is kind of coming full circle. Because, you know, my passion pretty simple, I think. It's to just put the right thing in front of the right person the right way, right? That's it, right? And to fulfill the consumer's life in a way that makes them feel really happy and special about, you know, what they're drinking, what they're sharing. You know, and then the other piece is the trade piece, which is just providing opportunities for the bartender to excel in their career path, right? Because I had an opportunity to do that. So I really want to share that with others. But that's kind of what's led me to the point that I'm at today.
So Aaron, what led you to leave the bar? Well, not that you left it, but I mean that you're not like, that's not where you hang your hat right now anymore.
So I actually left behind the bar twice. I had a hiatus in early 2010, left for about 4 years, worked in tech, and then eventually found my way back into working for a supplier. At that point, I was working as a project manager, so not on the kind of marketing side, not on what they call the fun side, which is definitely where I'm at now and where Tyler is. And did that for a couple of years and just felt like I was really, really missing something. I still would cover a bar shift here and there, but I realized I just missed being behind the bar. And at that point, 2015, I went back to working behind the bar. I worked with a restaurant group in San Francisco for about 5 years as their bar director, creating all of their new concepts, doing their beverage programs. And part of that meant I would go through phases of, you know, bartending full time again. So whenever we opened a property, get back behind the bar, work for a while, but that's where I really learned to love the concepting and the idea of building a brand and marketing. Ultimately, I was fortunate enough to go on a trip from another brand in 2018. I went to a distillery in Europe for about a week, and it just kind of changed. It was, I think, the push that I needed to get me to say, okay, how do I do this for other people? Yes, I can do this. I can help people find their favorite spirit. I trained, I think, probably 200 bartenders at that point in time. And I felt like I had kind of hit my peak of what I could do as, you know, as a bar manager, as a beverage director, as a bartender, and wanted to get out and be able to have a larger platform to really share the stories of producers and what we're creating, or excuse me, what they're creating, and to be a part of that. So found my way into, a sales position for another distillery. And then ultimately a couple companies later, I've kind of blended everything together where I do feel that I'm, you know, almost running my own business in a way, but also, you know, I'm doing marketing, I am brand building and getting to work with trade. And so this really has been kind of the culmination of all the different little pieces in my career kind of coming together. And it's really cool to be able to do it for, you know, not just one amazing brand, but to have six brands under my belt. So I feel like, you know, I still get to make cocktails all the time too, which is great, which I think, you know, we might have to stir something up here. I'm not really sure, but.
Now that you mention it, don't you think it's about time you give us a little tips and tricks this time?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it.
For today's tip, we're going to talk about batched cocktails. We're specifically doing the batch freeze martini here. And one reason the batch cocktails are so great is if you're entertaining, you're able to do all the work ahead of time so that you can enjoy more time with your guests and serve them a consistent cocktail that tastes the same every single time you pour. Also, if you want to just have this batch for yourself, I'm not going to judge you at all. You can always have your perfect martini ready to go. Pull it out of the freezer right when you're ready for it. First thing, grab your bottle of Elite Vodka, pour off about 20% of it. Don't worry, I'll do the math for you. On a 750 milliliter bottle, that's going to be just over 5 ounces. So measure out 5 ounces, put that in another glass, put it in a bottle, make a cocktail right now. Maybe make two since it's 5 ounces. And then fill the rest of that bottle up with dry vermouth. So now you'll have a ratio of 4 parts of Elite Vodka to 1 part dry vermouth. That's your perfect martini portion. However, it's not cold enough yet. So what we have to do next is put that bottle into the freezer. If you can do this the night before, if you're preparing that much, good for you. It's gonna make your martini taste that much better. And you might as well go ahead and throw your glassware in there. I'm gonna recommend for you a martini glass, a coupe, or a Nick and Nora. Throw that glassware in the freezer. Maybe don't throw it. Place that glassware gently in the freezer. And then you freeze that bottle and that glassware for 4 to 6 hours, or ideally overnight. And then you're going to have everything ready to go in your freezer when you're ready to make and serve your freeze martini.
So I love that tip. I love to be able to like batch. So like, I mean, that's kind of how the show started. I would have people at the house and I like to dabble. I love to cook. So I would read recipes and make cocktails. And people are like, oh my God, that's so amazing. How did you know how to do that? And I'm like, I just read a recipe. But of course, I'd love to watch like bartenders like Tyler. And I would just pick up, you know, tips from watching them and then just apply it and just try to make cocktail and just, it's all flavor profiles, right? So I love this idea of sharing with our listeners way to be able to batch a cocktail and enjoy your guests as opposed to trying to make them, as opposed to working your own party. That's awesome. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Oh, my pleasure.
Awesome. Awesome. And you got to keep it cold, right?
You do. That is one of the most important things about a martini.
So Tyler, where are they going to go to get this tips and tricks and how-tos?
DesignatedDrinker.show.
Wait, what was that?
DesignatedDrinker.show.
Aaron, did you catch that?
I think he said DesignatedDrinker.show.
Exactly.
DesignatedDrinker.show, go!
DesignatedDrinker.show.
Yes, yeah, so you go to DesignatedDrinker.show. You get the tips and tricks and how-tos. You'll get links to Elite Vodka if you're interested and want to know how to get it and if it's available to you in your city. And if it's not, how to cause a riot so you can. You can actually just scroll down into your episode notes and we'll have those links there. So there you have it. Easy peasy.
DesignatedDrinker.show.
I know you guys are going to say this because you work for the brand, of course. But why is Elite Vodka what the home bartender should grab when making a martini? Because, I mean, they're home bartenders, and sometimes you just don't know. You're standing at the aisle. There's 4,000 types of vodka. Why is this one? Why is it this one?
Yeah, totally. So I'm going to take this one, if that's okay. And I get really excited about sharing this. So, you know, I'll start with a story, Luis. And this is a real story. So I was working. I just kind of took a break from bartending. I was working with a distributor and we represented the Stoli portfolio. And at this time, I'd never heard of Elite Vodka. And someone on the team came to me and I can't remember, I think we're at a bar, but we're hanging out and he's like, hey, get a pour of this vodka, try this vodka, try it on the rocks. I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, not only did I not drink vodka on the rocks, but like, I was still really heavy into kind of the craft cocktail world. So I was way too good for that. Let's be real, right? So no, I'm good. Oh, come on. Fine. All right. I'll try your damn vodka on the rocks. So pour it, try it. And I'm like, whoa, like what brand is this? Oh, this is, this is Elite Vodka. And it was truly, not only was it so incredibly pure and smooth, but it had really unique, delicate flavors. I mean, I Sippy on the Rocks with a twist was the way I drank it from here on out. And then fast forward to having the opportunity to, you know, work with the team. And when I kind of started the interviewing process, there were a few job opportunities. And when this one came up, I was like, yes, I want to work on this elite brand because it's such a special vodka brand specifically. And there's an opportunity, I think, to, I don't want to say make vodka cool again, but to highlight and showcase it and educate not only the consumer but trade on the nuances of vodka. And there was no better product in my eyes, in my opinion, to do that with than Elite. And I was working on a whiskey brand coming into this company, you know, in whiskey. Love it, right? But it's... It's pretty easy when you take a product that's been aged for a while and has, you know, various grains to create really beautiful, deep flavors. But for me, you want to test and sharpen your skills as a bartender or even as, you know, a home consumer that really appreciates spirits. Do a vodka tasting. Like, understand the nuanced flavor profiles of vodka. Don't go to something like a mezcal, where it's really easy to pick out flavors. Go to something like a vodka that's much more pure and much more challenging because it forces you to really pay attention, right? And to answer your question, why do I think that, you know, the home bartender, the bartender period should pull for a bottle of Elite? I'll use the martini as an example, right? Because I think that's a drink we could all connect to. If you were to ask 100 bartenders what their martini recipe is, I can guarantee you, you'll get 100 different specs. Probably very small differences. You know, the ratio of the vermouths going to change. Do they use vodka? Do they use gin? What type of vodka? What type of gin? The glass might change. You know, is it dirty? Is it not? How much olive brine, you know, is going to go into it? Do they use bitters? Do they not use bitters? Are they shaking or are they stirring it? Lots of different variations you're going to get. But there are three to four elements, really four things I think that all bartenders will agree upon, or anybody that's consumed a martini will agree upon. It needs to be cold. It needs to be properly diluted, so have the right amount of water. It needs to have the right mouthfeel, right? So you want a velvety, viscous, kind of full martini. You don't want something that's super rigid and rugged because it's been beaten to death, right? And it needs to taste good, right? That's the taste good's pretty simple. So the reason Elite Vodka connects to that, it's really boils down to our production processes, right? So when you look at Elite and talk about the temperature first and foremost, we use a proprietary freeze filtration process. So what we are doing during, you know, the production piece is one of, so there's eight different filtration pieces of Elite, right? Which really makes this beautiful pure vodka. But one of the main filtration piece is we're going to essentially flash freeze the vodka down to negative 18 degrees Celsius. It's about 0 degrees Fahrenheit. And we're taking it to that temperature because the Elite team, when the product was first kind of produced and in the R&D happened over 20 years ago, after many, many different iterations of temperature, the team all unanimously agreed that negative 18 degrees was the perfect temperature to manage and control that mouthfeel of the end product. So once it comes down to negative 18 degrees, it's going to rest for 6 days, just allowing the vodka to naturally recover from this freezing process. And what happens there is as it kind of comes back to the room temperature, the oils are going to raise to the top of the spirit. And that's where this, I keep saying the word mouthfeel, that's where that mouthfeel, the viscosity, the depth of the vodka is going to shine because of kind of the spirit constricting and then opening up, releasing those oils, manipulating the mouthfeel in a very positive way. The next piece is dilution, right? The bartender, the consumer says, you know, you need to have the right amount of water in there. So water is important in a good martini, which you're going to dilute with the ice. Well, we have two 200 deep aquifers on site. And so we're ensuring that the water we use to proof down the vodka is managed to the T. Flavor. So we're using a single source grain, which is a blend of a spring and winter wheat. You know, and really the last piece, right, is going to come down to the total quality of the martini. All right. And Elite Vodka is going to go through 38 hours of processes to create one batch. Filtration process is so dialed in that we're able to reduce the levels of toxicity by 10 times, which is really, really, really impressive. So that's a lot of words to say that Elite Vodka is extremely pure, extremely smooth, and extremely delicious.
And you don't have to just take our word for it. It has won 13 times in a row best vodka. It has a 97-point unbeaten rating from the Beverage Testing Institute, which is a third-party, extremely well-respected spirits testing and company out of Chicago that does things all over the globe. But 13 times in a row, we've won their highest award for vodka. And I mean, it truly is one of those things. You try it and you will continue to drink it. You will switch over. I absolutely 100% am one of those like recovering bartender snobs that was like, ugh, vodka. Like just what Tyler was saying, like, why would I waste my time on vodka? Okay, so I will eat my words. I think it's, I mean, I think it's one of those things where you find gin is kind of my best example of this, where most you find a lot of people who will say, wow, I never liked gin. And then they find one gin that they connect with, like until this, blah, blah, blah. And that's their one thing that kind of turns them on and opens up their mind. And that can kind of be a gateway spirit for them. I think the reverse thing is starting to happen. I mean, it's happened with me. It's happened with Tyler, with a lot of those of us, you know, craft cocktail bartenders, where we are saying you have to have an extreme level of quality and technique to be able to produce a vodka that is nuanced and has flavors to it. And all of them do to some extent, but I mean, I now have a 375, so it's a little half bottle of Elite that's in my freezer at all times. I just fill it up with, you know, a larger bottle. It's always in my freezer and I just pour it into a little cordial glass, put a little lemon twist over it. And if you told me 3 years ago that I would be drinking vodka from the freezer, I would have said, I will be drinking whiskey from the bottle.
Yeah.
I will not be drinking vodka from the freezer. I will be having whiskey neat, but nope. So take, you know, if you could take our words for it, try it. It is a really, really exquisite spirit.
When it comes to vodka production, there's nowhere to hide. There's not a lot of flavor, right? That's covering up the impurities of the spirit production itself. Like there may be with, I mean, I'm not going to call any category out, but like there's certain categories that you can mask those impurities with flavor, or put it in, you know, an oak for a while, or add, you know, sugar, whatever it may be. You can't really do that with vodka. So when you go through a tasting panel, I mean, you're either going to pick up that, wow, this is a superior product, or this sucks. Right? There's no hype.
Also, I will tell you the next day, especially the older you get, a lot easier the next day if you've been drinking vodka and super pure vodka.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. That's good. Well, and also it depends on what you're mixing it with. If you're mixing it in the first place, right? Just with any spirit.
With ice.
So I think we have left our listeners with an awful lot of tidbits of tasty notes. Ha ha ha. And the tip, come on, tips and tricks. That's great. You look, being a guest today, just throwing it at you. That's awesome. Well, a job well done. So I guess all this brings us to the end of part one with designated drinker and Elite Vodka's U.S. brand ambassador, Erin Ray, and guest co-host and Elite Vodka's global brand team member. I think I got that right, Tyler Rothenberg. But if you're anything like me, Aaron, or Tyler, one round is just never enough. So go ahead, go top off that elite vodka and get ready for part two of this episode as we continue our boozy banter. And Aaron's got something tasty, a little tasty cocktail recipe that she's going to share with us that I'm sure is going to titillate all five of our senses. Cheers, guys. The Designated Drinker Show is produced by Missing Link, a Latino-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, we craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Also in the Missing Link lineup of podcasts is Roger That, a podcast dedicated to guiding you through the haze of dementia, led by skilled caregivers. Now, if you're looking for a whole new way to enjoy the theater, check out Between Acts, an immersive audio theater podcast experience. Each episode takes you on a spellbinding journey through the works of newfound playwrights, from dramas to comedies and everything in between. Find Missing Link's League of Podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And while you're there, please don't forget to follow, download, and review the shows. Your reviews help our shows reach new audiences. To find out more about Missing Link, visit missinglink.company. That's missinglink.company.